I don't know if you noticed, but last week I didn't have glasses. And this week I do. So I thank the Lord for glasses. Somewhere along the way, I set mine down and lost them. And my penance for not being a good steward of the things that God gave me was to have headaches for several days until these arrived. So that's over with, and I'm glad to have them back and to be able to read from God's word with you this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, finishing out Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So would you follow along as I read this out loud? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Now I want to show you something this morning as we look at Jesus' illustration, this whole concept of a house being built. Who knows what these are? Blueprints. They are kind of like a map. Blueprints act like a map of some sorts. They give instructions on how to build a building. And these are the blueprints for the church buildings here at Fairway. You can study these. Those that know how to read them can look at these buildings and understand where the foundation is, the key points on the foundation. They can look at these and determine what are called load-bearing walls. Which, by the way, if you've never had the fun of knocking a load-bearing wall out, go ahead and give it a try sometime. If you knock a load-bearing wall down, the whole building's liable to tumble. So blueprints contain some very important information for us, right? They help us understand in building this building, what are the key components that have to be put in place? Where are the major structures that are going to hold the whole thing up? They even speak about what types of material and how much of it should be used in building this building. And so these blueprints that are very complicated, that sometimes it takes an architect, an engineer to be able to decipher and look at all this stuff and to tell us how to build this building. But it's important because it does give the structure for the building, right? Well, Jesus uses that illustration of building a house this morning and helping us understand and finally grab hold of what he's talking about when he's been preaching to his disciples in the spiritual boot camp of what it looks like to follow him. He wants them to understand that everything that he has given them, he has been laying a foundation on which they are going to have to build a spiritual house. And what he's saying is, if you take what I've given you and you use that as your foundation on which to build the spiritual house, then the spiritual house that you build will withstand anything that comes up against it. And in this context here, Jesus talking about his teachings, laying that foundation and using this illustration of building, he uses two different houses. So we're going to look at this morning a house that is built by a wise man. And then we're going to look at a house that is built by a foolish man. And Jesus wants to compare the two. He wants you to see the comparison here and understand the grave difference between the two of them. Because we are going to build a spiritual house in this lifetime. We are going to, through the way that we live, the way that we interact with others, through what we do with what we hear from Jesus, the life that we live, we're building a spiritual house that is either going to stand or fall against what comes up against it in this lifetime. So Jesus wants us to understand there is a right foundation that needs to be laid for us to build the right kind of spiritual house that he wants us to have. And the first house that he talks about is a house that's built by a wise man. Verse 24, therefore, which that connects it back to everything that he's just said. I think it connects this closing out of Matthew chapter 7 back to everything that Jesus has said in the Beatitudes. Everything that he has taught over the last few chapters in Matthew's gospel, he is saying, listen to everything that I've just told you. Everything that I have just given you in the spiritual boot camp is what you need in order to have a firm, solid foundation on which to build your spiritual house. So everything that I've just said to you, so out of everything that I've just said, everyone, in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is compared to this wise man who builds his house on a rock. So I want you to notice, he's saying everyone. That's everyone, everyone who hears what I'm saying and acts on it. So what he has offered in this spiritual boot camp is open and available to anybody. And what he's saying here is that anyone who will hear what I'm saying, who hears my teachings and who acts on my teachings, he can be a wise man and build a solid spiritual house. I want to show you something this morning. When we think of this concept of wisdom, I want to show you, I think it's interesting that here in this context, in closing out the Beatitudes, Jesus uses this metaphor. Let's call it a parable. You know, Jesus teaches in parables. What is a parable? Let's see if you're with me. It's a story, right? So Jesus tells a story, and through telling the story, he's hoping that you and I will grab hold of some spiritual truth through that story. And that's what this is. This is a story of two different men building two different houses. One that lasts, one that stands the storm, and another one that doesn't. I think it's interesting that Jesus uses a story here about a wise man building a house. Go look, mark your Bible there in Matthew chapter 7. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 9. I want you to see this. Proverbs is known as a book of wisdom. We turn to Proverbs and we see the teachings there. There's some that are lengthy and long that help us understand, even parables here in Proverbs that help us understand certain situations about life. Then there are other parables that are just one verse or two verses that give us these pieces of wisdom to help us learn how to live and interact with others. But in Proverbs chapter 9, the author of Proverbs does something interesting. He personifies wisdom, which means he makes wisdom out to be a character in his story. He makes it out to be a person. And in this case, this is a woman. Look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. Can you see the same parable being used, similar parable being used here? There, where there's a wise man and a foolish man in Matthew that are building a house. Here, it's wisdom itself that is building a house. I want you to see what wisdom does. Wisdom builds her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She's made the foundation on which she's going to build the house. And she has prepared her food. So the house gets built. She prepares her food. She mixes her wine. And she sets her table. So she's built the house on a firm foundation. And inside that house now, she's got a table that is spread and she's ready to entertain. She's ready to welcome people into her home, ready to be hospitable to them. And so she sets the table, and in verse 3, she sends out her maidens, and those maidens call from the tops of the city and they invite. Look in verse 4, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. If you lack wisdom, come to my house, is what wisdom is saying. To him who lacks understanding, come and eat my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. So here's a parable in Proverbs chapter 9 of wisdom building a house and inviting people in. And Jesus says here in his parable about two men building houses, anyone who will listen to what I say and act on them can be like this wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storm hits it, nothing happens to it. It withstands whatever storm may come. If you will listen to me and do what I say, you can be like this wise man. I want you to see this morning that from the Old Testament to the New Testament and in multiple places throughout Scripture, God tells us that wisdom is something that all of us can obtain. It's something that all of us can have. It is God himself that is inviting you and me to be wise. In Proverbs 9, there is an invitation that is put out to anyone. If you lack wisdom and understanding, come and get it. It's here for you to have. You're going to build a spiritual house. God knows that that's going to be us. God knows we're going to go through this life building a spiritual house, and God wants your spiritual house to withstand whatever storm, whatever trouble, whatever temptation may come against it in this world. And so he wants you to build it the right way. And he gives us all that we need in order to be able to build that spiritual house that's going to withstand anything that comes our way. All throughout Scripture, he's telling us wisdom is there. If you want it, come and take it. We see that in James. In James chapter 1, we are told, if you don't have wisdom, ask God for it, and he'll give it to you. There is an invitation that is open for us to get the right materials that we need to lay this foundation that is rock solid in order to build our spiritual house on. And Jesus says, I want you to be like this wise man who built his house on the rock. But notice what this wise man does. There's one key difference between this wise man and this foolish man. Look at the wise man. The wise man hears what? What does he hear? Look in the verse. Look at verse 24. He hears the words of whom? This is a generic Sunday school answer. Everybody ought to get this one. Jesus. He hears the words of Jesus, and then he acts on them. He hears the teachings of Jesus Christ, and then he acts on those teachings. When you look at the foolish man, look a couple of verses down with me. In verse 26, look at the foolish man. The foolish man in verse 26 hears what? The exact same thing. But what does he do? Or in this case, what does he not do? He does not act on those words of Jesus. The one difference between the wise man and the foolish man is that the foolish man fails to act on what he hears from Jesus. Now, I want you to know, as we've seen with wisdom this morning, that it's inviting us to come and to take all the materials that we need to lay that firm foundation, to follow his blueprint, to build the spiritual house that he's given us. God has laid out his blueprint in front of us. This is it. This is his blueprint right here. Everything that you and I need to lay a firm foundation is revealed to us in the Scriptures. Everything that you and I need to build a spiritual house that's going to withstand any storm or any trouble in this lifetime has been given to us in the blueprint that God has left us in Scripture. It's perfect for everything that we need. God has not left us without instruction. He has provided all that you need to know in order to have a right relationship with him, in order to have a right relationship with others, in order to accomplish the will of God that he has revealed for us in Scripture. He's given it all to us. He's laid it all out right here for us. And Jesus says, if we will hear what he is saying and we will act on what we hear, then we can be like this wise man and build a strong spiritual house in this world that will last and withstand anything. Now, we hear what Jesus has to say. We hear his teachings today in a couple of different ways. Number one, when you get alone with the Word of God and you are reading God's Word, what you are doing is you are reading and taking in God's blueprint for life. You are reading God's instructions, God's the blueprint that he's laid out for you to build your spiritual house. And so God speaks to you through his Word as you are reading in your daily time in the Bible. The other way that God does it, a couple of ways that God does it, is that he speaks to us through those that teach, so that when you sit in a Bible study class on Sunday morning, the one that is teaching you has taken time to prepare by studying God's Word, and he's looked at the blueprint that God has given, and he's coming into that class, and he's going to sit, and he's going to help you understand how this blueprint that God has given applies to your life and how you should use it to build your spiritual house. When you sit under the preaching of God's Word corporately together like this, what God does is he takes his Word and he works through the power of his Holy Spirit through the proclamation of that Word to show you here, like in our text this morning, here's the blueprint that God is giving us. We hear and we act and we can build a strong spiritual house. So God, through his Word, is giving us all that we need. We're hearing the Word of God. We're hearing the commands and the teachings of Jesus Christ. But now the part comes where we have to do more than hear. We have to act. Jesus says here, the wise man hears what I say, and then he acts on it. Which means he hears it and then he does it. Another way to say it is that he hears it and then he obeys. He does what I say to do. He trusts my blueprint. He trusts my words. He trusts my teaching. He trusts that when I tell him that life is supposed to be a certain way, that my way is better than the way of the world, that my way is better than anything that he can conceive and think of, he trusts me to follow that. That's what the wise man does. He obeys what Jesus says. That's the one difference between the wise man and the foolish man that's building a house. Now, this whole idea of obeying is something that we've got to grab. We got to get a firm hold on this if we're going to understand what Jesus is saying here. Because there seems to be this disconnect between hearing the words of Jesus and doing the words of Jesus. Between hearing what is preached and what is taught and actually living it out in our life. But scripture is clear to us over and over and over again that to follow Jesus, to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower is to do what he says. In 1 John, when he wrote that letter to the churches in Ephesus, in 1 John chapter 1 verse 6, John says to the church there, anyone who claims to be of the light but yet walks in darkness is a liar. In other words, anyone who says they are of Jesus but yet continues to disobey him, to live in sin, to not do what he says, is putting out just false, they're just lying to the world, they're lying to themselves. James, in his letter, encourages us to not be just hearers of the word, but to also be doers of the word. You know, last week we looked and talked about this whole concept of this disconnect between him being Savior and him being Lord. That we like the idea of Jesus saving us from an eternity separated from God in hell. We want heaven, but we don't always want submission to him in this lifetime. But you can't separate the two. It's like you can't separate being a follower of Jesus Christ from being obedient to him. You can't separate building a strong spiritual house in this lifetime apart from being obedient to Jesus. You have to follow the blueprint that he has given. You have to follow and accept and take in the wisdom that God offers and lays out there and invites you to take hold of if you're going to build that strong spiritual house. So it's not enough to just hear, you have to do. Jesus says, the one who does what I say, the one who hears it and who does what I say, who takes in and absorbs my teachings into their life, they go and they build the spiritual house that has got this strong, firm foundation of solid rock. How many of you have ever been some part of building a house, building, probably know something about construction, been part of it in some way? Man, growing up, my grandfather used to take me every summer. I look forward to summer vacation, but then again, I didn't, because I knew when summer vacation came along that my grandfather, who was a contractor who built houses for a living, was going to put me to work. And so there were times in the summer where I hated my grandfather. Because my grandfather, he did everything. He did the foundation himself. He poured the foundation. If it was a slab, if it wasn't a slab, he built the pier and beam foundation, what he was going to build on. Then he did the framing. Then he did all of the roofing. And he did all of the finishing work. He did everything. He could do masonry. He did all of it. It was amazing to watch the skill that this man had. But I hated him in the summertime because when it came time to do a foundation, there were in places that where you have to level off where you're going to build. Guess who had the fun of digging out dirt and pushing a wheelbarrow? I couldn't stand it. And it just got worse from there because once the foundation was dug out and you got ready to put it in place, guess who had to lug all the cinder blocks to put in place? Then when he got to framing and got to building the house, guess who had to sweep up all the sawdust and pick up all the scrap wood? And then when I got older, guess who had to lug the shingles and the tar paper up on the roof when it came time to do the roofing? So there's a lot of hard work that goes into building a house. And we need to understand when it comes to building our spiritual house in this world, there's a lot of hard work and a lot of difficult things that are going to go into us building that house that's going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and it's going to withstand any storm. But it has to start with that foundation that has to be laid. And here, Jesus says the foundation are, it, that's his teachings. It's the wisdom that he gives. And the wise man who builds his house on the word of God, that house, when it is built, will withstand any storm that comes against it. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. If you build your life on the word and the teachings of Jesus Christ, it will withstand anything that happens to you in this lifetime. Because the way that Jesus tells the story is the wise man listens to me, he does what I say, and by doing what I say, he has a rock solid foundation on which he builds his house, and the house is built, and then the rains come, and the rain pelts that house, and the rain just falls down on it, and you know what? Because he's built it the way that I've asked him to build it, the roof doesn't leak, it keeps the weather off of him, and he's safe in that spiritual house in the midst of that storm. But then it gets worse because it doesn't stop raining. It keeps raining and the floodwaters rise. And as the floodwaters rise and begin to wash away all the dirt and the topsoil and that which is around that foundation, it's washing it all away. But that house isn't going anywhere because that house's foundation is built and is standing on the rock. It's standing on my teaching. So it can get even worse. But the spiritual house built on the word of God will stand. And if the floodwaters rising wasn't enough, the wind begins to blow and it begins to slam up against the side of that house and it's pushing up against that house, but that house isn't going to fall. That house is going to stand because it's built on the rock solid foundation of the word of God. So that it doesn't matter what this wise man goes through in this lifetime, he has built a spiritual house on the teachings and the promises of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what temptation comes, it doesn't matter what struggle comes, it doesn't matter what frustration comes into his life, that house will stand. And we've got to start thinking about every aspect of our life like this. We've got to start thinking about every part of our life being some aspect of a spiritual house that we are building in this lifetime. And we've got to go back and we've got to ask, have we laid that firm foundation in the teachings of Jesus Christ? So in other words, is your marriage built on the teaching and the understanding of Jesus Christ? Does his teachings define what you know and understand about your relationship with your spouse? So that when Paul would write and say to us, husbands, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself up, sacrificed himself for her. Is your relationship with your wife, does it look that way? Am I willing to sacrifice and give up so that my wife may grow and mature in Christ and may have everything that she needs to be the bride to me that she's called to be? Or do I struggle because I have my own desires and my own ambitions and there's things I want for myself that I'm not willing to give up? When parenting, do I have my own desires, my own goals for my children, things that I want to see them do and be, or am I understanding Scripture that my role in their life is to point them to Jesus Christ, to give them his teachings and to let God's word mold and shape their character, and understanding that they are a gift that has been given to me, that has been entrusted to me, that I am stewarding my children ultimately for the glory of God, that he may use and do with them however he sees fit? Or is my desire that they go to be something that I think ultimately glorifies me? You see, the foundation, the teachings of Jesus Christ have to be what we build every aspect of our life on. Our marriage, parenting, our career choices, our church. Everything has to be built on the foundation that Jesus has given us, his word. Everyone who hears what I say and does it is like this wise man who builds his house on the rock. And no matter what comes against it, it will not fall. But the foolish man who hears what I say but does not obey what I say, builds his house on the sand. And the rains come, the floodwaters rise, and the wind comes against it, and that house falls, and it falls hard. Growing up, my great-grandmother was an interesting character in my life. I'm convinced that she made her money by making moonshine. But I was amazed at one thing that I didn't know about her that I learned when I was about 9 years old. She knew how to build buildings. I had been, she lived right behind us in a trailer, and I had been playing in her, the woods around her house, and decided I was going to build a fort. And so she had a lot of scrap lumber laying around, and I tried to build this fort. There was three pine trees that made this perfect triangle, and I was trying to build the fort there, and I had no understanding of how to build a building. No knowledge and understanding of foundation or anything like that. And man, I'd put up what I could. I tied stuff down with ropes because I didn't have nails and a hammer, and I got it fixed up nice and even had, you know, a roof over the top of it with plywood. And man, I was having a good time in that fort. And then one night, the storm came, and I got out the next morning and looked, and man, my fort was just demolished. Now I was frustrated and mad, but I wanted my fort back, so I set back to building the fort the way that I wanted to build it. Got it all back up and tied back down, and it rocked on for a little while, and then later that summer, here comes another storm, and this storm was so bad that it broke one of the pine trees that my fort was on and knocked the top of that pine tree down on my fort and crushed everything. Man, I was devastated. About a week later, I go walking back to her house to go have lunch with her. And when I'm walking through, do y'all remember me telling you a story about my grandmother hanging dead snakes in the tree? So as I'm dodging all the dead snakes, she hung snakes in the tree because she thought it would make it rain. So maybe it's her fault that the rain came and destroyed my fort. But as I was walking through the woods to her house, I could see three big 4x4, I guess they were 4x4 posts in the ground near the back of her house. And she was putting a fourth one in a hole that she had dug in the ground. She was building me a fort. But she said to me when I got there, she said, "We're going to make something that's going to last. There won't be a storm that'll blow this one over when I'm done with it." Now, Great Granny used some different adjectives that I'm not going to use here this morning in church. But she built that fort by digging down to the bedrock and putting four posts on it. And then that's the foundation on which she built this nice, neat fort that had stairs that I could climb up into. It had a door that opened, had a window that opened. It would have been one of the nicest deer stands I ever hunted out of if it was in a place to hunt. But she built that fort, and me and my brother, man, we played in that thing for years. And it lasted. In fact, there were even sometimes in the summer I'd get busy playing inside that fort and wouldn't realize that a storm had blown up. And I'd ride out a thunderstorm in that fort. But she knew what she was doing. She knew it had to have a firm foundation in order to survive. And I want you to understand this morning, Jesus knows what you need in order to thrive in this lifetime. The question comes, do we take his invitation? Do we take Scripture's invitation to accept all of the wise things that he gives us and build our spiritual house on those? Are we willing to say to him, "God, your way is better than mine. Your understanding of my marriage, of my relationship with my boss, of my relationship with my children is better than mine. And I'm willing to give myself over to what you say so that you can build for me in this lifetime a spiritual house that's going to withstand any storm that comes." Let me ask you this, why do you think it's so hard for us to trust him? I mean, I don't know about you, but there's plenty of times that I sit when I read God's word and there's things that I get hit with in reading God's word that if I'm just gut level honest with myself, I walk away from that and within a day or so, I've forgotten it. It's convicting that it doesn't change my life. And there are times you sit through a Bible study, you sit through a sermon, and by the time you walk away come Tuesday, Something that day may have hit you hard, but by Tuesday you've forgotten it. Why is it that we see things in the Word of God that convict us, that tell us you need to surrender to me and live this way, but yet we don't do it? You know what? You're not the only ones that are like that. We aren't the only ones that are like that. Those that heard the teachings of Jesus were like that. In verse 28 and 29, look what Matthew says about him. When Jesus finished all of these words, when he finished his teachings, the crowd that had been there listening to him, they were amazed at his teachings. Now, you hear that and you may be thinking, they were like, oh man, this is great stuff. This is good stuff. We got to take this. We got to go do this. But that's not exactly what Matthew's saying. Because he qualifies it. He says they were amazed because Jesus was speaking and teaching to them as one who had authority and not like one of their scribes. You see, what the scribes used to do is when they would teach, they would say, Rabbi Caiaphas says this. Rabbi so-and-so says this. And so they never spoke and never taught in such a way that it was them teaching the people what to do. They were always referring to somebody else and putting it on someone else's shoulders. But yet Jesus comes along, and here all throughout the Beatitudes, what we see Jesus saying is, you have heard it said this, but let me tell you what you really need to know. And in correcting things that they had heard from the scribes, then he turns around and he starts giving commandments. I say to you, they had never seen anyone teach like this before. And so they're hearing all these things that Jesus is telling them that challenged everything they thought they knew about living in this world and honoring God with their life. It challenged everything that they thought that they knew. And so when Matthew says that they were amazed at what Jesus says, it means they were dumbfounded. They were struck by what he said in such a way that it shook them to the core. And when we read God's word and we are convicted by the Holy Spirit that there are things in our life that do not line up with the wisdom and the foundation that Jesus wants to give us, you know what ends up happening is that our flesh, that Jesus says back in verse 11 here in chapter 7, is evil. We push back. Because Jesus challenges everything that we think we know about living in this lifetime. Just when we think that we've got it all figured out and things are going good and we go to Jesus for a little encouragement, Jesus throws in a correction, a course change. Like the rich young ruler who thinks he's got everything ready and good in this life and everything's going well, and man, I know this Jesus and I just need to understand from him, what do I need for eternal life? Because I got this taken care of in this world. I got all this taken care of. And so he goes to Jesus and he says, what do I need in order to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do this? And Jesus says to him, you go sell everything that you own and then follow me and you can have it. And it rocked his world. Challenged everything he thought he knew about God, everything he thought he knew about life, and in that moment he had to decide, is what Jesus is telling me, is it true, is it right, is it wisdom, is it trustworthy, am I going to take it and use it as a foundation in order to build my spiritual house on, or am I going to be content with what I've built? And that's what Jesus is saying to us in this parable, the story of this wise man and this foolish man. We are going to build a spiritual house. It's either going to be built on a rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ, or it's going to be built on the sand so that when the rains and the storms and the troubles of life come, it's easily washed away. So that's our question this morning, is where are we building our spiritual life? Are we building it on the rock solid foundation that is the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ, or are we building it on something else? Are we taking what Jesus has to offer us, or are we swallowing what the false teachers that Jesus warned us about just verses beforehand? Are we swallowing those things and using that as the foundation on which to build? We should desire to be this wise man building a spiritual house, a spiritual legacy on the Word of God. But it all comes down to that one difference. We hear what Jesus says, but are we willing to do what Jesus says? Let's pray.